Thank you for tuning in to Vontae NYC Podcast. I am your host, Vontae, and I am joined by my DJ, one of them, Selector Sean the Building. What's good, bro?
Yep.
DJ Spaz still on. Is she even on tour or vacation? I don't know at this point.
Bro, she's going to come back in a New York week, so we'll probably see her
in April, May, right?
A New York week?
Yeah. Yes. When she took her last hiatus, her last, when she was on tour last time, she was gone for like a month, said she was going to New York week. Oh, if you heard that voice also, people, returning after a very, very long hiatus is a fan favorite, Ash Dollars.
I'm back.
AKA Yardley. How are you?
I am good.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And if you're listening to this, this is recorded on January 25th, AKA the Lunar New Year. So
2020.
Gong Hai Fa Choi to all of my Chinese folks out there. You know I love my heritage. So it's the year of the rat, no Takashi. surplus and wealth. Let's get this money. If everybody's chilling, I do want to introduce our guest at this time. To be honest, probably it takes a lot to make me laugh. I laugh a lot of stupid shit. You guys know this. Ash and Sean know that. I'm a jokester in my own right. But this guy is a guy that I think that 5 years from now will be probably one of the biggest comedians coming out of our city.
Oh, wow.
Seeing them live. Definitely. You know.
Wow.
We got Chris Bazemore, also is the co-host of the I Can Explain That podcast in the building today. Welcome Thank to the
you.
Show, brother.
I appreciate the time. I appreciate you guys letting me on here.
Of course.
Those are kind words, man.
Now
I feel I got to make it.
I can't make it
after you say some shit like that.
You have no choice, man. I like to speak things into existence, too. But I only said that. Now, if I'm a fan of somebody, of something that they do, and I don't never see it live, then I can't really judge, you know? But I've seen you.
That's a fact.
What was it? Ottoman? That's what it's called.
Ottoman Otto's, Shrunken Head. Yeah.
Oh, I was at a
you
show.
You went to one.
Yeah. I went to one.
Yeah. Actually, you're the reason why I went to the next one, because you was like, he's hilarious. I was like, I gotta see this, because I know you to be a jokester, you know.
Yeah, man.
I was in tears. I was like, what the fuck? This is my boy, like up on stage turning this shit up, and that shit was jokes the whole way through. Like, I was having a bad day, and that had me going. I was on a train thinking about shit, like, oh, this motherfucker Chris is hilarious.
Thank you
for coming to the show.
Thanks for having
me, guys. We have a little bit of history in the show. Everybody knows that me and Selector Shah lived on the same block all our lives. We got Ash Dollars back, and we also have Chris Bazemore, who we, you know, got.
We both know.
Yeah, that's a fact. We go way back, man.
This is the first time.
Way back in the day.
This podcast history.
Yeah. 2015?
Was it 2014? Yeah.
2014. It was a hell of a time for me, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the only motherfucker in that summer camp that never tanned.
Bro, never tanned.
never got anything.
You broke your leg on like the first day, too.
Nah, I did sprain my shit.
Sprained his ankle.
It was like a little mud pit, and I didn't realize. I was hype, and I was like running down to the bathroom and caught my shit.
We haven't been here a full day. This man's
I thought it was over.
Like, you see Chris Bazemore with freaking Tim's on and an Ace bandage on his ankle. Like,
that's my new look, though. I'm going to fuck with that.
So, shout outs to Camp Tommy. I'm only going to shout out to Camp Tommy. I'm not going to shout out that organization.
Shout out to Richard.
Shout out to Richard. Richard, rest in peace. Actually,
I remember how he hired me, man. Yeah. He was like, you sure you're ready for this?
Actually, I think that this interview will release 2 days after his birthday. So,
wow.
Oh, this is awesome. Perfect that Big we all are here in the same time. You know, I'm going to give it to our guy, Stefan, to listen to. we thank you for coming through. Comedy, man, it's a very, like, fickle place to be in when you're a comedian. I think that, you know, people underestimate the hard work you got to put in. I was speaking about this before the interview. Like, it's just, like, it's a weird place to be in. Like, either you're funny or you're not, and it's either, like, people are going to come out and support or they're not, right?
It's a constant grind.
It's a constant grind. So, let's talk about the beginning of your comedy history.
Is true. Like, it's one of those things where everyone thinks they're funny.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing about it, because not everyone can rap. So they, and you know.
Yeah, I
so
know.
They'll never try.
I know. I know.
You know more than anyone.
I know.
So not everyone thinks they, but it takes a psychotic person to go like, yeah, I could still rap. Mm-hmm. When they know. But everyone in this world has made someone laugh at one point.
Yeah.
So you're like, yo, I see what Kevin Hart's doing. I can do that.
Yeah.
So there's always people looking down on you. So when I started, I sucked, of course.
Yeah. How many years ago do you think that you really started to go full force?
It was three and some change. But I always tell people it was about seven.
How did you get started?
I got started. I just went to an open mic. So from, I told you a story off cam, right? So back when we was in Camp Tommy and stuff, I used to always tell stories. I always have people laughing.
Facts.
I remember one day we was on our way to the bank, and I had everyone laughing. Some old white lady walks up to me and she goes, "Hey, you're funny. You should do stand up." And I always had the thought, and I heard people in the hood tell me that. So I was just like, "All right, maybe I should give this shit a try." So I would say from like age 20, I had the thought. And I bought the books. I did all that stuff. Okay, and I would sign up for the open mics and never go up. Like, so many open mics I would sign up. And it's this particular one, Stand Up New York. Like, you sign up online. So no one, like, if you don't know me, you don't know me. You don't know the name. So they would get up and they'd be like, "Hey, is it a Chris Bazemore here?" And I'd be like, "Nah, I don't know who that is, but he's a bitch. That's what he is. He's a goddamn pussy." And I would... And I never would get up. I went to so many shows. I did all that. And one day, I decided to go up. The place that you guys saw me go up, that was the first place I ever went up. Hence why I wanted to throw a show there.
Out
of Shrunken Head. And I was trying to, I was doing my best rendition of Dave Chappelle, trying to be like deep and shit. Not understanding like, yo, comedy is just about being funny. The deep stuff comes later. So I had started. And it was, oof, it was a grind. But out the gate, I would say a couple months in, I got this thing called the residency. So you have to do this bringer show, which you got to bring five people. They got to spend $200. It's a fucking racket. Like as a total group, right? They spend $200. Like they got to pay tickets and they got to get drinks. And this club had expensive ass drinks. So you think, I got five people there. They just spent $200 to see me perform for 5 minutes. I did well, and they gave me a residency. So I was going up on Mondays. I was doing 5 minutes, but like on real shows. And I was going up in front of like people like Tony Woods, who's, he's the person who inspired Dave Chappelle.
Interesting.
And stuff. And I'm like looking at him like, yo, I think I made it. I thought that residency was it. But as soon as that shit ends, it ends. And now I'm back to square one. And I just went and I started throwing shows. I started trying to... just progress and like get better, because my biggest thing was always to get better. I was like, yo, the money will come. If I make the world laugh, the money is naturally just gonna come. But my goal is to make the world laugh. So I've had bad shows, man. I had one person get up. It was like five people in this bar. This dude got up, turned his seat around, and said, "Ugh." In my face. This white motherfucker.
How did you feel?
I felt bad. It was Black History Month. I was like, how dare you, nigga? It's like, how dare you? It was like a Black History show. Like, it was only Black comics.
He
was
like, running disgust.
I was like, yo, my light skin powers is really not activated. Like, this nigga did not respect me at all. He was like, he's Puerto Rican. I'm not going to respect that shit. I've had terrible shows. And just, you go through the gambit. It's one of those things where it's like, not everyone rocks with you, especially at first, because you're still trying to figure
yourself
out.
How do you feel about like that criticism? Like, as a comedian, I'm pretty sure you know you're funny. Like, as a person too, right? You got the hecklers who do it for the sport, but then you got the people who just generally don't think that this shit is funny. How do you feel about those people? Like, do you think they have the actual sense of humor, or you just think they're just hating on
you? I mean, everyone has a, like, for everyone, like, the biggest comic in the game right now is Kevin Hart, right? Not everyone thinks he's funny.
I don't think he's the slightest bit funny.
And that's cool, right?
I just think he's still loud and short. That's what sells.
That's what sells.
Yeah.
No, it's, I mean, it's cool. He does have a little stick about it. It may work out, right? But he still sells out like stadiums, right? So it's like, I heard someone say this. If you take 10 people, I mean, three people going to like it. Three people going to hate it. Four people not going to give a fuck about it. So the people that don't like it, fuck them. Like, all right, cool. Hopefully they like someone else. Hopefully they still support the art form. Like, I've seen people walk out of comedy shows with that face like, I'm never doing this again. Like,
the actual comedians?
The audience. The audience. This is a bad look. Especially early coming up, you got to do this thing called barking. It's basically standing on the corner and you, like those people like you see in Times Square, and they're like, hey, I got a comedy show. I got to do that shit.
Were you doing that?
Yeah, you got to do that to get stage time.
So these are actual comedians out there.
Some of them, and Times Square is usually criminals. They all felons. That's a fact. I remember I was doing my own show and I went out there with a couple comics to like do the same thing. And one dude came up, like it was like on some wire shit. He was like, "Hey, yo, my man, it's my block, son." Like, you're gonna have to take that comedy shit over there. I'm trying to get my shit off. Oh. And I was like, come on, man. Like, it's enough room for all of us. He was like, nigga, I got kids. And I was like, I gotta respect the kids. My nigga, I got to. So, and I got the fuck out of there. So
this barking.
Usually when you go to like McDougal Street and like mm-hmm. West Forth, mm-hmm. those people, I would say half of them are like, or even more than half are comics. And we're doing that for stage time.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Never guess.
I'm trying to think about all the times that somebody has asked me, hey, do you want to come to a comedy show?
I actually
want to
see you now. Just because I want to see you go through like that.
That barking?
Yeah, so I could know, like, I could have more appreciation.
Oh, I was terrible. Because really? I didn't give a shit. I didn't give, because
you get a stage time is depending on how well you do barking or just because you did
it? Some people are dicks, right? So some people will go like, oh, you didn't get anyone in. I'm not going to put you up. But thank God people thought I was funny, so they would always at least give me 5 minutes. But you standing out in the cold, in the rain, doesn't even fucking matter. You standing out in the rain for 2 hours just to get 10 minutes, 5 minutes. And hopefully that 5 minutes you could, do well so they see that and they could stop having you do that. But it's all a racket because it's you're hustling for the other person.
Yeah,
I had like Keith Robinson. Like all these other big comedians that go to like in this Comedy Cellar, they come up to me and they're just like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, I just want stage time. Like, yo, I'm gonna get 10 minutes. I get to work on these jokes. And they're like, stupid, get your own shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm just like, you're hustling for someone else. And I was just like, word, I am hustling for another motherfucker. And I'm not seeing no profit, right? And then I started to learn, yo, if I do my own shit, I get the most important thing in show business, and that's contact, that's emails. So now I can hit them up directly. Oh, you remember the show you just came to, blah blah blah. But you don't get that when you're barking, so I can't do anything. I'm just getting people in for the club, and then I just walk away like, all right, thanks for my little 10 minutes. Hopefully it went well. A lot of times you're getting tourists, you're getting motherfuckers that's off the street that are mad that they couldn't get into the Comedy Cellar, and they just like, yo, we came out for comedy, man, like, fuck it. So now you go up and you got a little dick joke and shit, and they like, yo, I don't want to hear that shit. Word. Talk about how Trump sucks, or just be better. And it's hard. It's definitely like growing pains. You do that shit, you grow.
Do you feel like you have like your comedy is that tailored to a specific audience or
no?
So I
do this thing where after a show. I hope this ain't boring to you.
Nah, I was there, so I know.
But I do this thing after a show where, like, I'll write down what kind of audience it was. If it was a mostly black audience, is this Taurus? Who is this? And I try to tell the jokes the same way every time. I don't want to blacken it up. Like, oh, I'm amongst my people. I'm going to be that person. Oh, I'm not going to do the opposite of that, right? I'm around white people. I'm going to try to sound more educated.
Yeah.
I try to be as myself as possible.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't matter. I have noticed, though, drunk white women love me. They love me. And I think it's mainly because I'm like safe looking black.
Yeah.
Like
they
like, I'm a starter kid. I'm a starter kid for a lot of these bitches. It's like, I want to go black, but I don't want to. I'm not going to Africa. Like, I want to. Let me get the Puerto Rican looking motherfucker. At the worst, they could just be like, yo, he's here for the yard. Like that type of shit. You feel me?
I'm dead.
I just caught that.
All right.
That's at the word. I mean, that's where it starts from.
That's just jokes, bro. Nah, but yeah. So you got your white girl audience. You got the tourists, and then so now for the shows that you do, where you invite your friends to, or your friends come out, because I think the one that I was at, you had a lot of colleagues and friends, and they were in tears, bro. Like I was looking around some jokes. I'm like, all right, this is funny, but. They were in knots, and I'm like, did I miss something in the joke, or did I not hear it? Because I know it's funny, but what's the feedback like from like your friends? Do like all your friends supportive of your?
I would say for the most part, people support, because a lot of people see like where I was always the funny dude, but I was never like cracking on people funny.
Gotcha.
I would always crack on myself before they can, so that I could just alleviate that. You're not gonna come at me. I'll just come at myself. Like, yeah, you're right. I got on Pumas. Like, I don't give a shit. And this is before Pumas was hot.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm rocking all that shit. And I would just come at me. And so when I started doing comedy, at first niggas was like, you ain't funny. Because everyone thinks like Kevin Hart, and they think like the big comics, Dave Chappelle and all this shit. And I'm like, I will be one day. And then they just see the grind. I'll continue to post things, and they're like, yo, this motherfucker's all right. Yeah. He's all right. So they start to come around. But most people just was like, I was funnier than this nigga in school.
You didn't win class comedian, did you? Yeah,
no. In high school, I was the funniest dude amongst my group, because I wasn't the coolest. I went to Lincoln. And when I went there, like Lance Stevenson and shit was there. So like he was the coolest dude, and the basketball team was the coolest. I wasn't in that circle. So being that I wasn't in that circle, I couldn't be, class clown. Yeah. They didn't get a chance to see my talent.
Got you.
But the motherfuckers I was around, the little like in between, was nerds. But they were like, they were cool.
Any of those people from high school that may have been in the in crowd, quote unquote, see you now and be like, yo.
It was one dude that hit me up. He was like, yo, son, I always knew you was funny. I was like, no, you didn't. Stop lying. Don't lie. Don't lie. It was a couple people that, like, they'll say certain shit. It was like, yo, you the funniest dude in class. I was like, then nigga, why didn't you help me when they was beating my ass? Like, why didn't you support me? But nah, it was never, like, I'm starting to see that people are just like, hey, this person is doing something different. I think it's more like a conversation started, like, yo, I got a friend that's a comedian. I went to school with.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to be completely honest.
You used that already?
Definitely used
definitely.
It today.
So, definitely.
I was supposed to link up with somebody. So somebody tried to, like, double book me. Not for anything, like, business-wise, but they tried to see me, and I was like, yeah, but I got this comedian on my podcast, Chris Bazemore. And she's like, oh, comedian. I was like, yeah, like, you know, I don't get too many of those, and this is a once in a lifetime opportunity, so I'm gonna go there instead. And she understood, so I was like, all right, cool. I pulled up and I name dropped you too, so it was like,
that's what's up.
If anything, she remembered
your
name.
In her head, she was like, who the fuck is Chris Bazemore?
Hey, listen, it sounds,
I guess he's important.
It's
I don't know
how you sound it out, right? So hopefully she looked you up. But yeah, I definitely used that line. You know, I have a friend that's a comedian.
Yeah, so I think it's more like that. Like, if I had a friend that was a DJ. Oh my gosh! All the things I would just use you for everything.
I get used for everything.
Pause.
Because you looked at me with like intention when you said, I get used for everything. I was like, is this a prison podcast? What kind of shit? That shit done changed on me. I wasn't prepared.
Listen. So your comedic style is a little bit different than the norm. That's one thing that Ash and I also like want to bring you up for is like you have like a story.
It's like a story time dynamic. Like you don't know me, but I'm going to make you know me through my story.
Yeah.
So like you feel the comedy out and stuff like that. It's like
I try to do that because no one gives a fuck about me right now. So I do have jokes where they're like more opinion based. Like, hey, this is how I see the world.
But
a lot of times people don't give a fuck. They're like, yo, what? I don't care about a 27-year-old's fucking opinion on relationships. What the fuck do you know? Right? So I try to make people know me. I try to let people know who I am, or at least where I'm at right now. So right now I'm talking about losing weight and how I used to be fat.
Yeah.
And how I still am fat. And motherfuckers won't let me be win.
Yeah. I am not fat.
You are not. You are not. But as a former fat.
Oh, that was French. I was saying we. Like, yeah, yes, I mean, all fat.
As a former fat.
that was yes, we. Yeah. We are. Yes,
you did lose a lot of weight. Yeah.
We're not going to talk about my weight on air. Like, that's what we're not going to do.
All I'm saying is a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Like, I wanted to tip off. At least
goes,
off
body
it.
Goes.
Hit a motherfucker out of it with some tips or some shit.
Pause.
I'm talking to a female, though.
You said hit him, but it don't matter. You look at me with the conviction. He's like, hit him with some tips.
Because I was hoping that you had my back on. But all right, cool. I'll pause that.
Yeah, pause that one too. I'm not going to have you back on that.
Yeah, don't
have.
I'm
just giving redemption for my boy Shy. You know how to do that.
All right, that's
pause wars.
All right, that's fair. You got that.
But back to the fact that you do, you know, storytelling. One thing and you did say that you have other jokes, you know, opinions. What I do like about you is I saw one of your videos of you messing with a heckler in the crowd. I think it was somebody with their son.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? That was actually hilarious.
So, that was a show I did in Atlantic City.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, and it was a great opportunity. Shout out to AC Jokes, because they give me, they show me love. They let me host shows and shit.
Mm.
And one of the shows, like, they had a kid in there, and I didn't notice. I had this whole thing. I was talking about sex for, like, 5-10 minutes. And everyone was laughing and shit. It was good. And then all of a sudden, I noticed. I'm like, is that a midget? Nah.
Did you say that?
Nah. I don't think you can say midget anymore. That word is banned, but I said it twice.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Little midget,
people.
Damn.
Like it's, damn. But I feel like little people is worse than midget.
Yeah, because it's like...
Because you're like, you're a littler person than most. Like, you, it just feels bad. Weird.
Just call them a person, I guess, yeah. Right? But just, still, they're midgets. Smaller.
But midgets, right? I look at the dude, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is a kid. I done talked about sex for 5 minutes. This motherfucker probably doesn't even know how his dick works yet. Mm-hmm. So I just addressed it. Like, you, the thing about comedy is, like, in those moments, the beauty of it is I get to address that. Yeah. I get to, like... It's immersive, right? We're all in this room together. And if you can capture that, that's the beauty of it, right? We're all in this room together. Everyone, no one saw the kid, mm-hmm. right?
Or the midget, rather.
Or the midget, right? They didn't see him until I pointed it out. As soon as I pointed it out, everyone was like, holy shit. Because
in the video,
shit.
Everybody's like, oh, wow. There's a kid there. Yeah. Like, start looking over the shoulder.
Because everyone is looking forward. Mm-hmm. So no one is looking and like, oh. It's a little kid. Don't know why that kid was in there, by the way. Kid shouldn't been in
That's
there.
That's his parents' fault.
Yeah, 100%. White parents, though. Yeah. White parents.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Hopefully
he won't be a school shooter. That's all I'm hoping.
Let us pray.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, because... White people, that's a sport they dominate, I tell you that. Mm. We got football, they got school shooting, son.
Shit.
They kill that shit. That's they do though.
Shit.
Have you ever saw a black school shooter? It's hard to shoot up a school when you wearing Jordans, my nigga. Like,
facts.
I'm not trying to crease my Jordans, trying to run after you niggas.
You're gonna see somebody mama running. If you dare let off a shot, yo, you getting your ass beat before you even let off.
That's another fact. Where am I getting this gun from, too? Like,
we're not talking about.
See, school shootings never happen with like a little.
Yeah, nah, they coming in there with some shit.
No black person walk around with machines unless they
unless they really out
with props.
Okay,
unless they do some other things too. But
unless
they're
real.
Schools though, I think they go to places.
If you're a gangster, you're not in school with a fucking AK.
You're not in school.
Yeah, I need to like, fucking sell that. Crack.
Yeah. In comedy, does anything ever throw you off on stage?
Yeah, I mean, there's moments like I've had a lot of shit. Like I've done the Apollo. And
you done a lot of the Atlantic City, did Apollo, and you're here trying to talk about you still like
I'm still learning because I'm still
that's a good mindset though.
I want to be great.
That's a good resume though. Like if I tell somebody I'm a comedian, I did Apollo, I did Atlantic City. I'm a
book oh I mean if I'm be honest, they,
how did you
they
do at the Apollo?
They didn't like me.
Did they
they booed they me? They booed me immediately.
Did they?
Ooh. Yeah.
What was the first thing you said to the crowd?
They booed me before I came out.
Chris, get this nigga the fuck out here.
So the show start. It's not designed for comics, first of all.
Right? Yeah, you're right. Regular Apollo, right? Like regular Showtime.
Okay. It was like the Showtime at the Apollo, amateur night. And I had the audition, right, for that shit. And I killed that audition. Mm-hmm. It has to be clean, and it had to be like 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. I killed that shit. So I'm like, yeah, now I'm the man. But I still didn't expect to get called. So mm-hmm. once I got called, I was just like, oh, yeah, they know. Mm-hmm. It's about to go down. And then I do the shit. I do the actual Apollo, and all of a sudden, I'm hype. Like, I'm just like, yo, I'm here. This is dope. And they like, here's the set list. Here's how everyone's going. I'm like, yo, the show starts at 6:30? I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I'm not going up to 9:30?
Yo, that's 3 hours.
What the fuck got it?
So you got the crowd tired.
And it's all music. Mm-hmm. I was the only person that did something different. Yeah, literally, the kids were doing, like, dancing and singing. I was literally the only person on that show that was doing anything remotely different.
So you kind of screwed from the beginning. So
It wasn't set up for me. So as soon as they go, all right, we got a male comedian. Uh-huh. And legit, as soon as they said that, the motherfucker said, boo. They booed me. I was like, yo, what kind of person boos a nigga's dreams, man? Like, I was trying to progress in life.
Nigga said, before you even went on a walkout.
Oh, yeah.
On a walkout.
And I walk out and I start this shit?
Oh, I was about to ask, did you even start the...
Yeah, so I tried. Because they calmed down a little bit. It was still booze going on, but they calmed down. Most people were there to see the people they wanted to see. And there was one chick, she had so many people there that they gave her like a personal shout out. Like she had like legit like 300 people.
Mm. That's how you got to come deep.
I mean, yeah, she came deep. The whole, they shouted out her hood. They was like, yo, Patterson in here. And literally the whole fucking
Patterson
room.
Oh, Patterson got
it
right.
And I was just like, how am I going to relate to these niggas? Yeah. And this bitch was singing Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah, you lost.
Yeah.
Anybody singing Whitney Houston, they won whatever show they're on. Like.
So literally, they start booing me. I start to try to tell a joke, and they boo me again. And then I go, you motherfuckers can't boo me. Because if you boo me, I'm going to start talking about Jesus. Because none of y'all niggas want to boo Jesus. As soon as I said that, everyone like laughed. I was just like, oh shit, I got him. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was on. I'm like, yo, I'm from this point on, I got it. Mm-hmm. And I know I was great in my head. And I go to tell that same joke I started with, and these motherfuckers booed me again.
You thought you had us?
Yo, and literally when they started booing, I looked down, and there's this older lady in the front, and she goes, you better start singing about Jesus.
Yo, so, shout out to that old lady in the front.
Yo, that's a fact. So soon as she said, yo, you better start singing about Jesus, I go, Jesus! And then the alarm goes off, motherfucker comes out. And he comes out, but I'm like, fuck it. I'm a live in the moment. I was going to tap dance with them, and I was going to tap dance out. Yeah. Like, I was going to do some fake shit. Like, hopefully they just like me. And as soon as I came out, he was just like,
nah, it's not it.
Leave. He didn't even tap dance. Motherfucker just was like, go. Everyone treats you different after you get booed. The security guards didn't want to talk to me.
He was like, oh, who
the hell? We was legit talking about, because this happened right before the NBA draft. We talking about the NBA, like, yo, I hope the Knicks get, you know what I mean, such and such and all that. And literally, soon as I got booed, I went back out there, and I was just like, yeah, so like I was saying, like, and he was like, sir, if you don't get out of my face. And I'm like, sir, we was on first name basis.
Ain't no friends up
Rodney? That's his real name. I shouldn't have said that. That motherfuckers be like, don't associate with me.
So, Chris, you talked earlier about the importance of, like, starting your own thing and just having your own stuff to, like, deliver to people as opposed to, you know, riding off the backs of, like, comedy shows and stuff. But can you talk about what you have going on for you right now or what's in progress?
Oh, well, most definitely. So I got my podcast, as you guys said.
Yes.
So
I can explain that podcast.
Yo, I can explain that podcast.
It's a wild podcast.
Honestly, that's kind of body of. I honestly have been refraining because I got a second phone because I'm going to leave the old one home when I go out to that podcast.
We got to get you on there.
Yeah.
So basically the theme of the podcast is we go through each other's search histories and you got to explain that weird shit that you see.
I'm leaving this shit.
I would love to be on that.
My laptop is definitely staying home.
Yo, you gotta tread lightly.
I'm a type of dude where I don't always delete my porn. Like, I'll keep it up in the browser. Just, I guess I got an old thinking. I don't want to lose it. You find that good video.
I
don't
want to
lose that. Mm-mm. I'm going to save that for later.
You keep that tab open.
So I keep it open in the private. Like, you used to go to my joint right now, you'll see a bunch of porn probably. And legit, my co-host will go through and be like,
shout out to the other Chris.
Why are you? Yeah, Chris Ryder, shout out to you. Fuck you too, but like, shout out to you. And you go through it, and he's just like, yo, amputee porn? I was like, yo, I'm curious. I didn't know.
Wait, what?
Amputee? Nah.
I didn't have my dick out when I was saying
that. You searched it.
I gotta do this, bro.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't have my dick out. I'm just letting you know, but I was curious as to what prompted that thought. Like, yo, I don't got a leg, but I'm a throw this pussy back. Like, what?
The fact that you even typed in the actual search of it, like, you could have been like,
any type of disability porn.
He's an amputee, but he was specific.
Porn. No, I found someone told me that it existed, so I looked it up, and they weren't lying.
But it's still in your browse history. It's in your,
it's in there. It's still in there.
I'm
so
curious.
That's what the podcast is about. Mm-hmm. I got a web series I'm trying to start. It's called DTR, Define the Relationship, and it's basically a bunch of 20 somethings trying to figure out this whole relationship shit.
Yeah.
As it follows me, who just got out of a relationship, which is semi autobiographical, right? Mm-hmm. And it's basically just showing how I'm trying to navigate in this world and this new shit. Like, I didn't realize that, like, you could just get head now. Like, I don't got to barter with that shit. I don't got to be like, yo, I'll watch Netflix with you. Like, nah, it's a different world. And it's just following me through that. I got a sketch show I'm trying to start. I'm just having fun, man.
Yeah,
like,
as you should,
honestly,
as you should.
The key to life is just to have fun. You Once you to. Find that shit that makes you joyous and you just want to do forever, do that shit. So it's a sketch show, me and my homegirl Shiv Shanks on Instagram. That's a real name, by the way, Shiv Shanks.
I remember you posting about that.
She's never gonna make it. Like, she's Shiv Shanks doesn't get a job.
I actually heard on your podcast too, you were saying that's her real name and like her mother don't love her or something like that.
Yeah, no, her mother doesn't love her. Who set you up to fail like that? Shiv Shanks? Like, Shiv, that's Shanks. A real name.
Hey, listen, that's it.
Nah, I'm gonna stop fucking with her because like all her family is probably gangsters. They last name is Shanks.
Shanks, yeah.
Shanks, like,
and if they even one Shiv, then I can only assume what the rest of their names are.
Exactly. Dagger Shanks and shit. Like, I don't want that.
Listen, so, oh man, this sketch show and everything that you're working on, we will follow the process for sure.
Please do.
Definitely.
Come back to the show. Definitely. Whatever you got to promote, definitely come back to the show. We want to have you again. Because I know there's so much going on in life that we need to cover today, unfortunately.
And I need y'all to get on. You. I need all of y'all to come on that podcast.
Oh, of course. Man. Listen, if you're listening to this, I can explain that podcast streaming everywhere.
Definitely.
I tune in faithfully, so I need y'all to tune in. Definitely. If you're looking for a comedy podcast,
don't look over here.
Nah, I'm going to get you on there.
Shout out. Hazemore got some
I gotta shit going on. There, I don't
know. Nah, he was cracking jokes with me on the walk-in.
Where can we find you on social media, and if you have any upcoming shows in the near future, where we can catch you at?
Most definitely. So check it. I throw a monthly show, a storytelling show. It's at Otto Shrunkenhead, mm-hmm. and it's always themed. So you came for a drug theme. Mm-hmm. I think you came for mistakes, I believe.
No, it was mistakes.
It was something else. But it's always a theme.
I'm trying to think what the theme was.
It's always a theme. The next one coming up is February 3rd, and that one is love, right?
What time is the show? I don't know.
It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I won't be.
Well, third. It's a free show. Definitely pull up. Uh-huh. I have a variety show where I got burlesque dancers, go-go dancers, comedy.
I like that.
That's monthly as well. That's at the Cobra Club.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find all this information on my social media. Chris B Comedy.
Chris B Comedy.
B as in boy. Not crispy.
Yeah. I also emphasize that B as in boy because I used to work in like call centers and stuff, and they would be like, I'll say my name is Devontae, D like David. Is your name Bavante? Why would my name be Bavante? Like, why would I ever say B like, I said D like David.
There's people named Shivshanks.
That's
possible.
That's true.
Anything's possible with that, man.
Listen, we know we're friends for a long time, so we're going to stick with the journey.
And I love what y'all doing too, man. On the real, from the Flexercise to this podcast, everything you're doing, you're new to this podcast space. That's beautiful.
We
got to get you on that show, man. Oh. I know you got a wild search history. I can look at your eyes and tell.
Nah, select a shot, search history. He doesn't let me see his phone. I knew him since he was a kid.
I guarantee you, he done saw a midget porn before. 100%.
Possibly. Definitely.
Look. 100%.
I probably have.
See, I'm like, all right, listen, you're taking a Uber home by yourself. We've had Ash Dolls return to the podcast. Thanks for coming back.
Of course.
Good to see you this year.
Of course.
Select a Shah, of course, is going to take us out. Shout out to DJ Spaz, who's on tour or on vacation or wherever the hell she may be. Yeah, but we had Chris Bazemore in the building today.
Chris B Comedy.
Not even an upcoming comedian, a New York City comedian.
Thank you, guys, man.
He's hilarious, so check him out. We was mentioning February 3rd. This you might be hearing this after February 3rd.
Yeah, but don't worry, it's a monthly. So
it's monthly.
It'll be back around. It's the storytelling show is always, it's always on the first Monday of a month.
Gotcha.
Cobra Club is a different setup because it's a club. Uh-huh. Everything else, I got a dollar and a dream show.
Gotcha.
You pay a dollar, see a bunch of motherfuckers dreaming on
stage. Yeah. I'll make sure that all the links to your social media, et cetera, on the bio, as well as everybody else, so everybody can tune into what you guys are doing and up to on your day-to-day basis. I go by Vontae. You've been listening to the Vontae NYC Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Deuces. Oh my gosh.
That's Selecta Shah. Who art in Zion, all the way. Down on earth, all the ways be thy name. I said to be careful when you jump in on my saga. Boy, you can't ride, turn you on the gaga. Someone said they might ride, I bought them a clip straggle.
She said she loved me. Smell like a ping pong. Because a pussy biblical in a smell like igloo. Plus a physically fix skin clean like new shoes. Not even a chemical, still pretty like they do. Thing well clinical, not shot like typhoon. Me love it, the way you touch me like that. Me love you, way you wine, way you booky like that. Tell her full of style, bring the pussy right back. Full of your king, ding dong, like a boy.
Dirty bad mind, don't like we on the road, you know. When we buy expensive clothes, you know. Clothes, you know. Party, party, let me party. Backstage, general, or VIP. Party, don't stop, y'all sober. Ready to go home. Second star. System 32. Woman, I'm talking to you. She tell me, as a waste man. She say, as a dog, a dog. She screenshot all we text, put me up on the net, no more. She tell me, as a waste man, I stick up the dog, she tell.
Oh my gosh, that's a lucky shot.